This week's Parshas, Parshas Chukas, and we'll focus our shir on chapter 20. There it says that after Miriam died, there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled against Moshe and Aaron, and the people fought in Moshe, and they said, in verse number 3, Velu govanu, we wish would have died, bigva achenu, in the death of our brothers, lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. And then the Jewish people asked, and why did you bring the congregation of Hashem to the desert to die there, us and our animals? And why do you bring us up from Egypt to bring us to this bad place, which is not a place of planting figs, grapes, and pomegranate, and there is no water to drink? The Torah records that because of the Jewish people, Moshe and Aharon came to the door of the tent of meeting, they fell on their faces, and the glory of Hashem appeared to them. It is interesting to note that here Hashem does not punish the Jewish people at all for their complaints, whereas further on the Parsha, on chapter 21, verse number 6, as soon as the Jewish people complain about the manna, it's written there that Hashem sent the burning snakes into the nation, and it bit the people, and a great number of people died. And yet here we see that there is no consequences for them speaking so harshly in regards to the water, or speaking disrespectful to Moshe Rabbeinu in regards to the water. So we'll have to understand why is that. And furthermore, here they complain that this is not a place of Gefen, Te'en, of Rimoin, grapes, figs, and pomegranates, and there is no water. Clearly, their priority should be the fact that there is no water. That is their complaint. Then what do they mean by the argument that this is not a place to plant grapes, figs, and pomegranates? The Torah continues that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to take the staff and gather the congregation, you and Aharon, and speak to the rock in front of their eyes, and the rock will give its water, and then you will take for them out water from the rock, and you will give them to drink and their animals. Moshe Rabbeinu took the staff from in front of Hashem, like he commanded him, and Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the whole congregation in front of the rock, and he told them, Shimu no hamoirim, normally translated, hear now rebels, hamina sela ze noitzi lochem maim, are we going to be able to take water for you from this rock? That is a normal translation of this verse. The Torah continues and says that Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hand and he hit the rock twice, and a lot of water came out of the rock, and the assembly drank, and the animals drank. Then Hashem tells to Moshe and Aharon that because you did not trust me to sanctify me in the eyes of all the Jewish people, therefore you're not going to bring this congregation to the land that I gave them. Then the verse finishes, Hey Mama Meriva, these are the waters of strife, Asherovu bnei Yisrael Hashem, that the Jewish people contended against Hashem, Vayikodesh bam, and he was sanctified through them. Rashi explains what does it mean that he was sanctified through them. Rashi says that this was the cause of the death of Moshe and Aharon, and when Hashem does justice for those who are close to him, then he becomes feared and sanctified by the rest of the people. That is the normal interpretation of this verse, but we'll try to give a different interpretation. Sefer Sharei Aharon brings 21 different mefarshim that explain what Moshe Rabbeinu did wrong in the sin of Meimeriva, of the waters of strife. But we are going to focus on what is written in chapter 20, verse number 10, where there it says that Moshe and Aharon gathered the whole congregation in front of the rock, and they told them, Shimu no hamoirim, as we translate normally, listen, O rebel ones, haminasela ze noitzilochemayim, from this rock should we take out water for you? We are first going to explain according to Rashi. According to Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu's sin was that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the rock, and he went ahead and hit the rock. And Mefarshim explained that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu did that is because Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, as witnessed by the words Shimu no hamoirim, listen, O rebel ones. And there's a rule that Bali chlel kas, Bali chlal tos, that when you get angry, then you don't know exactly what you're supposed to do and you make mistakes. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu made the mistake and he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. The Rambam explains that Moshe Rabbeinu's sin was that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at the Jewish people, and he shouldn't have gotten angry, because you see that Hashem did not get angry when they asked for the water. Then Moshe Rabbeinu had no right to become angry at the Jewish people, and he should have not called them Shimun no Hamoirim. Listen, O rebel ones, should have not called the Jewish people for Moirim as rebels. Sefer Shemeroish wants to reconcile the idea of Rashi and the idea of Rabbam by first introducing the Gemara in Tainis Daf Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara there says, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says that three Parnosim Toivim Amdu Israel, three excellent leader arose to the Jewish people, when they are Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam, and Hashem gave three gifts for them, that Be'er, that the well came in the merit of Miriam, the clouds of glory came in the merit of Aharon, and the man came in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara there says that after Miriam died, the well stopped. As it's written in the verse in Bamidbar chapter 20, verse number 1, that Vatomos shom Miriam, Miriam died there and there was no water for the people to drink, and he came back in the merit of Moshe and Aharon. As soon as Aharon died, then the clouds of glory dissipated, and they came back in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu. And when Moshe Rabbeinu died, then all three gifts stopped, meaning the well, the man, and the clouds stopped as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu died, and the people actually ate from the man that fell while Moshe Rabbeinu was still alive for a whole month. And in regards to the well, it's written in chapter 21, verse number 17, Oz Yashir Yisrael Zashir Azois, that then the Jewish people are going to sing these songs, Ali Ve'er, come up, O well, Enula, call out to it. The Talmud Yosin Ben Ezriel explains that this is a praise of the Jewish people, that after they came to the well, they knew that the well came in the merit of Miriam, so they used to sing to the well, and then the well used to come up, meaning that when the Jewish people used to sing, come up well, then the well gave its water. Then Sefer Shemeroish brings the Toiras Moshe, Tzadik Dalet, where Toiras Moshe is trying to explain what was Moshe Rabbeinu's sin, and he explains that the Rambam in Parshas Vayigash, chapter 47, verse number 18, brings the Sifri on Ekev, chapter 38, that in Bereshis, chapter 47, says, Vayvorach Yaakov es Paroi, that Yaakov Avinu blessed Paroi. So the Medrash asks, Bame Barchoi, mean what did Yaakov Avinu bless Paroi? The Medrash answers, Shenimna Shneorov, that he caused that the hunger should stop, meaning Yaakov Avinu came down to Egypt after the second year of the famine. It was prophesied by Yosef that it's going to be 7 years of famine. Yaakov gave a blessing to Paroi automatically. By Yaakov's blessing, it caused the famine to stop. Some say that the blessing that he gave is that the Nile should come up to the feet of Paroi. Automatically, Paroi used to go out to the river. The river used to come up, automatically used to irrigate all the fields. Like that, the famine stopped. But Rabbi Yossi says that after Yaakov Avinu died, automatically the famine restarted, meaning it stopped for 2 years while Yaakov was alive. Since Yaakov was alive for 17 years in Egypt, there was no famine. But as soon as Yaakov died, then the famine restarted. Rabbi Shimon says that this is not proper to do. It's not a sanctification of Hashem's name to have the bracha of a righteous person stay while they are alive and taken away when they die. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon says that the famine never came back. And then the Medrash says that Omar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar son Rabbi Shimon says that I see the words of Rabbi Yossi better than my father, because quite opposite, this is the sanctification of Hashem's name, that while the tzaddik is around, then everybody knows the bracha, the blessing comes because of the tzaddik. But once the tzaddik goes from the world, then everybody realizes that the bracha came because of the tzaddik. Therefore, the bracha, the blessing is taken away. And quite the opposite, this is the sanctification of Hashem's name, that everybody realizes that the blessing that they got up to this time came only in the merit of the tzaddik. Therefore, Shimon ben Elazar holds that Rabbi Yossi is right, that the famine came back right after Yaakov Avinu died, for everybody to know that Yaakov Avinu was the one whose merit caused the famine to stop. And the Torah Moshe explains that this same idea is in regards to the well of Miriam. Since the well of Miriam came all the time because of Miriam, as soon as Miriam died, automatically the well stopped and only came back because of the merit of Moshe and Aaron, meaning that because they prayed that it should come back, therefore it came back. But clearly it did not come back in the merit of the Jewish people, because if it would be on the merit of the Jewish people, then it will never stop, because they needed still water. So everybody understood that the well came in the merit of Miriam, and after Miriam it stopped, and only after Moshe and Aaron prayed for it, then it came back. Like that, everybody realized that the well came in the merit of this tzaddikim. That the tzaddikim are the ones that caused those miracles to happen, and not the merit of the Jewish people. Because had the well continued normally, you would have thought that the merit of the Jewish people is what caused the well to continue. But the fact that the well stopped and only came back later in the merit of Moshe and Aaron, that caused everybody to understand that it is in the merit of the righteous people that the well came. But the Torah Moshe says that since Moshe Rabbeinu was such a humble person, he did not want to take credit for the water coming in his merit. Therefore, he says that Hamina Sela Ze Noitzilochem Maim, you think that we are the ones that are going to bring water for you from this stone. Obviously, only Hashem is the one that could bring water for you. In the same way that by the man in Shmos chapter 16, verse number 8, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "V'nachnu ma, what are we that you are arguing against us?" Meaning, we are not the ones that are giving you manna. Hashem is the one giving you manna. So too, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to take credit. And Moshe Rabbeinu said that we are not the ones that are going to give you the water. Hashem is giving you the water. And because Moshe Rabbeinu failed to teach the message how important it is to follow the righteous people, and how Hashem gives all these blessings in the merit of the tzaddikim, of the righteous people, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu failed to sanctify Hashem's name. But by Moshe Rabbeinu's death, since after his death, all the three gifts stopped, the manna, the well, and the clouds of glory stopped, automatically through Moshe Rabbeinu's death, via Kadesh Bam, Hashem became sanctified, because at that point everybody realized that it is Moshe Rabbeinu's merit and the merit of the righteous that caused the water to come. These are the words of the Torah's Moshe. Sefer Shemeroish wants to understand that if this is Moshe Rabbeinu's sin, why then does the Torah says that because you didn't sanctify, Lochein, therefore you're not going to come into Eretz Yisrael. And specifically he's bothered by the Balaturim, where the Balaturim says that every time that the Torah says Lochein, therefore, it is Midah Keneged Midah, it's a measure for measure, because the numerical value of the word Lochein is the same numerical value as Midah Bemidah, a measure for measure. Because the Lamed is 30, the Chaf is 20, that's 50, and the Nun is 50, that's 100. And Midah, the Mem is 40, the Dalet is 4, the He is 9, that's 49. And Bemidah, that has the Midah and the base is 51, so 51 and 49, it's 100. So he says that every time he says the word Lochein, it means measure for measure. Sefer Shemeroj is bothered to what kind of measure for measure is it now if we say that Moshe Rabbeinu did not hit the rock because of his humility. Why was he punished that he won't go into Eretz Yisrael? Sefer Shemeroj says that since there is a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim 2, chapter 17, verse number 6, Vayigba liboy bedarkei Hashem, that a person should be haughty in the ways of Hashem, and Hashem has told Moshe Rabbeinu specifically to talk to the rock, then Moshe Rabbeinu does not have the right to be humble and is required to do what Hashem told him explicitly to do. And the fact that he believes that he doesn't have enough merit and he believes that his merits aren't so great, therefore specifically Hashem showed him that he is going to be punished in that way. Meaning that since he gave up his kingdom, his malchus, by not saying that it comes from him, therefore Hashem made sure that his malchus, his kingdom, was taken away from him, that he won't be able to come into Israel and be as a king in Eretz Israel. In the same way, the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Samach Beis, Amud Beis, 62b, writes down that Kol HaMevazeh Abgadim, anybody who shames clothing, the Sof Einu Nanu Imenu, in the end, he doesn't have any benefit from clothing. And the Gemara brings down that David HaMelech, when he cut the clothes of Shaul HaMelech to prove that he could kill him, but nonetheless, by cutting the clothes, he ruined the clothes. So therefore, when David HaMelech became old, he could not become warm from the clothes. And in the same way that the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis 22b writes down that Omar Ravido Marav, that Ravido Marav says, why did Shaul get punished that it was taking away his kingdom? The Gemara answers, "Mipnei shemach al kvoidoi," because he gave up his honor and he showed that he is not worthy. And also Shaul was rebuked by these famous words in Shmuel Aleph, chapter 15, verse number 17, "Im katan ato beinecho," that if you believe that you are small in your eyes, "Roish shivte Israel ato," you are the leader of the tribes, meaning you are the king of Israel. So too now, when Moshe Rabbeinu gives up his honor, when Hashem wanted to honor him, so Hashem says that therefore you are not going to be honored. Meaning, since you yourself gave up the honor, therefore this is going to be a punishment that you are not going to be honored. Then Sefer Shemeroish is wondering, even according to the Torah's Moshe, I understand that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to take credit for the water coming out to the Jewish people. But why in fact did he change and he hit the rock and did not speak to the rock? He should have spoken to the rock. Because clearly Hashem told him to speak to the rock, and it's hard to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu did not remember what Hashem said. And true that we mentioned that since the Gemara says Balichlal Kas, Balichlal Toz, that when a person gets angry, he doesn't remember exactly what goes on and therefore he makes mistakes, but he wants to understand what in fact was going on in Moshe Rabbeinu's head that Moshe Rabbeinu decided that he's going to hit the rock and not speak to the rock. Sefer Shemeroj introduces the idea by explaining that the holier the mouth is, the less Lashon Hara, the less derogatory remark you say on somebody else, the less sins, the less nivul peh, the less bad words the mouth does, the more Torah he learns from his mouth, the more Kedusha the mouth has, the more the mouth is able to accomplish, to give blessings. He brings the Yerushalmi in Brachas, Aleph, Aloha Beis, where there the Yerushalmi says that if I would be at Mount Sinai, I would have asked Hashem to give us two mouths, one mouth that we speak the Torah, and another mouth that we use for everyday living. After that, the Yerushalmi brings down quite opposite. If by one mouth the world cannot stand, for sure with two mouths the world would not stand. So the Slavim Rebbe explains the idea that this is that when a person has only one mouth and that mouth works for whatever he speaks and also for Torah learning, then the person is able to realize when he asks something from Hashem and is not answered, that his mouth has got to have a problem with it, that there is something wrong with his mouth, because since the Torah doesn't flow smoothly and he cannot accomplish through prayer what he wants, then clearly his mouth is not working right, and therefore he is able to rectify anything that he spoke bad through his mouth. But if you would have two mouths, then one mouth only speaks Torah and the other mouth only speaks other things, you won't know if you're doing something wrong with your other mouth. The fact that you have one mouth, and by your seeing your shortcomings in your Torah learning, in your blessings, and in your tefillahs, then you realize that your mouth has to be worked on, and therefore Hashem created specifically one mouth, so you'll be able to realize that your mouth has to be holy, and the holier you keep your mouth, the holier you'll achieve a level, the more your prayers will be answered. Based on this idea, Sefer Shemeroy says that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the rock. And Moshe Rabbeinu gathered everybody to speak to the rock. But as soon as he got angry and he said, "Shimu no amorim, hear, O rebel ones," automatically by him saying these words, calling the Jewish people rebels when they don't deserve, automatically Moshe Rabbeinu realized that his mouth became corrupted. And Moshe Rabbeinu thought that since his mouth is not corrupted, if he is going to speak to the rock, then the rock won't give the water because his mouth is not holy anymore. And it will come out at the secretion of Hashem's name, since when he speaks to the rock won't give the water. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu decided that he is going to hit the rock. Meaning that normally Moshe Rabbeinu would have spoken to the rock. And he would have said, like the Torah Moshe says, that the water is coming in the merit of Hashem and not my merit. But once Moshe Rabbeinu corrupted his mouth by saying the words Shimu no amorim, hear, O rebel ones, like the Rambam says, that this is a bad word to say against the Jewish people because they have the right to ask for water, and Hashem did not get angry, and Moshe Rabbeinu had no right to call the Jewish people rebels, then Moshe Rabbeinu realized that he corrupted his mouth. Then Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that his mouth won't have the potency to give water for the people. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. Meaning he only hit the rock after he realized that the mouth was corrupted by his speech. And Sefer Shemeroish brings as a proof the Kli Yoker in chapter 21, verse 17, where the Kli Yoker explains why the water came in the merit of Miriam. And he says that since Miriam was one of the midwives, were there in Shemos chapter 1, verse number 17, it says that the midwives feared Hashem and they didn't do what Paroi asks, and they maintained the Jewish children alive. Rashi explains what does it mean that they made the children alive. Rashi says, they used to give them water and food. So we see that Miriam already started giving water to the Jewish people, to the Jewish children in Mitzrayim. Therefore, the Kli Yoker says that the water came in the merit of Miriam. Sefer Shemeroish adds that since it's written in Shemos chapter 1, verse number 15, that the names of the midwives were Shifra and Pua, and Rashi says that Pua is Miriam, that Pua is Miriam, and the reason she's called Pua is because she cries and speaks and coos the child in the manner that women who soothe a crying baby. That means that Miriam was already using her mouth to comfort the Jewish children in Egypt. Therefore, Miriam had a very powerful mouth, and when the Jewish people did not have water and she prayed for the water, automatically the water came in her merit, because she was so pained by the suffering of the Jewish people that as soon as she prayed, automatically Hashem answered the prayer, and the water came in that merit. Because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu realized that the only way to get the proper water is if somebody behaves in such holiness of mouth as Miriam. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, once he said, Shimo no hamoirim, hear, O rebel ones, believed that he won't be able to fulfill anymore by his mouth, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu decided to hit the rock. So it comes out that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock is because he said, Shimo no hamoirim, listen, O rebel ones, and therefore he was afraid that through the speech he won't be able to get the water. That comes out that the Rambam, which holds that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished is because he said, Shimo no hamoirim, listen, O rebel ones, and Rashi that says that the reason he was punished is because he hit the rock, ends up being the same reason. That the only reason that Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock is because he previously said, Shimo no hamoirim. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for saying the words which caused them to hit the rock. Another interpretation on the verse, Shimu no amorim, listen to, O rebel ones, as we translate it, is brought down by Sefer Shemeroish. But Sefer Shemeroish takes this word moirim and he translates the words totally different, not as rebels. And he says that based on the Gemara in Tanis, Dav Zainum at Aleph 7a, where there the Gemara says that Omar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, why are the words of Torah compared to wood? As it's written in Mishle chapter 3, Eitz Chaim Hi Lamach Zikim Bo, that it is a tree of life for those who hold on to it. Why is the Torah considered as wood? The Gemara says, Noi Malach to tell you, Ma Eitz Katan Madlik Es HaGadol, in the same way that a small wood lights up a big wood. If you want to make a fireplace, you need a small wood to start the fire, and then you could light up a big wood. So too, Tamid Chachamim, Torah scholars, Ktanim, the small ones, Machadidim, Azagdoyle, sharpen the bigger ones, meaning that through the questions and answers that the small, the new students ask, automatically the Torah becomes sharp on the scholars and becomes more developed and becomes more steadfast. The Gemara says, "V'ha'ina the Omer Rab Chanina." This is what Rab Chanina says. "Harbe lo malti miraboisai." I learned a lot of Torah from my rabbis, "Umechayverai," and from my fellows, "Yoiser miraboisai." I learned more than my rabbis, "Umitalmidai," from my students, "Yoiser mikulam," more than all of them. Meaning that through the questions and answers of your students, you get to a higher level. You end up learning more Torah. True that you could learn Torah by yourself, and you could learn Torah from your Rebbe, where you just hear the words and listen and don't ask any questions. But when you have a fellow, in other words, a Chavrusa, your Chavrusa asks you questions and you have to explain to him, it gets more developed. But when you have students, since you have to explain to the students, and in order to explain to the students, you require to have the matter very clear, because they ask questions and they try to poke holes in it, and therefore you end up learning more than anybody else. This idea is so strong that the Rab Ki Weger, in his Akdama for his Tshuvas, writes that he never called his students students because he didn't want to give them a false name. Because since he probably learned more from his students than the students learned from him, therefore the students were really his teachers. So Rab Ki Weger would not call his students students, because maybe the students were the teachers. According to this, Sefer Shemeroy says that this could be the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu is calling here the Jewish people, Moirim, as teachers, not as rebels. Shimu no Moirim, listen, O teachers, are we going to take out water from this rock? But it's not that they are calling them rebels, because Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't do that. Moshe Rabbeinu was a very humble person, and he would not call the Jewish people rebels. So therefore, according to this opinion of Sefer Shemeroish, when Moshe Rabbeinu called the Jewish people Moirim, he wasn't calling them as rebels. He was giving them a title that, since by them asking questions, he was learning more Torah from them. So therefore, in fact, they became Moshe Rabbeinu's Moirim, Moshe Rabbeinu's teachers, from the word Moreh, from the word teacher. Then Sefer Shemeroish gives a different interpretation, and his interpretation is based on Rashi, on chapter 20, verse number 10, where there Rashi says, "Vayakilu Moshe v'Aharon eskol hakol el pnei hasela," that Moshe and Aharon gathered the whole congregation before the rock. Rashi says, "Ze echot min hamekoymos," this is one of the places, "she'echzik muad es hamerubah," that a small space took in a lot of people, meaning that the whole congregation of Jewish people, 600,000 men, women and children, were in front of the rocks, were in front of the rock, and that is impossible unless there was a miracle. In the same way, he explains that the Gemara in Baba Basra, the Tzadik Tes Amud Aleph 99a, writes down that Mokom Aron Kruvim Eino Min Amida, that the space of the Aron and the cherubs are not part of the measurement, meaning that you measured from one side of the Aron until the wall, and you measured from the other side of the Aron until the wall, and you had the whole space that that room was supposed to take. That means that the whole ark and the cherubs did not take any physical space. So you see, when something is holy, it does not take any physical space. And in the same way that the Mishnah in Avos, the fifth perek, says that never somebody went to Yerushalayim and complained how narrow is to him the place, meaning how inconvenient is the place, even though every man was supposed to come in the holiday time to bring an offering, nonetheless, nobody ever complained that Yerushalayim is too crampy. And also in regards to Eretz Yisrael, it's written in Yirmiyahu chapter 3, Eretz Tzvi, Eretz Yisrael is considered a land of Adir. And the Gemara explains in Gittin, Daf Nun Zayin, Amud Aleph 57a, that in the same way that a deer, after you skin him, he does not hold back the flesh, meaning the skin shrinks and you can't see how that could fit over the flesh of the deer. So too, Eretz Yisrael, when the Jewish people are in Eretz Yisrael, then there is a lot of space, the land expands, And when they are not in Eretz Yisrael, then the land constricts and the land shrinks. According to this, Sefer Shemeroch explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that the Jewish people are wondering, how is it possible that from such a small rock we are able to take water for the whole congregation? We are talking about a population of 3 million people at least, 600,000 men from the age of 20 to 60 plus, above 60 and plus under 20 and plus the women. How is it possible that from this rock so much water will come out that it will be able to quench the thirst of all the people and all the animals? Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shimu no Hamoirim, listen, please, Hamoirim, you yourself, that you are teaching. Meaning, the fact that all of you fit in front of the rock, and as Rashi says, it was a miracle that such a small space was able to take such a big population, that clearly shows that Hashem is able to make a small space absorb a lot of people, a lot of things. And that itself will prove that there is going to be enough water for the whole population. Meaning, Shimuna, listen to me, Hamoirim, you the ones who are teaching us that Hamina Sela Zeh, that from this rock, Noitzi Lochemaim, we are able to take out water for you. Meaning, you don't have to wonder if you are going to be able to take enough water from the rock to quench the thirst of the whole population. You yourselves, the fact that you fit in front of the rock, a population of 3 million could fit in front of the rock, that itself proves that we are able to take from this rock a lot of water. So according to this, Shimon no Hamoirim, he was talking about, listen, please, Hamoirim, those who are teaching us, meaning you yourself, the fact that you are here, this teaches us that we are going to be able to take out from this rock enough water. Then Sefer Shemeroish gives a completely new interpretation, and his interpretation has to do with the questions that we mentioned before. We mentioned that the people fought against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon, and they asked, why did you bring us to this place? It's not a place of planting figs, grapes and pomegranate, and there is no water. If they are worried only about the water, what does they care that you can't plant figs, grapes and pomegranate? Plus, another question is that they say in verse number 3, Velu govano, we wish that we have died bigva achenu lifnei Hashem, when our brothers died in front of Hashem. We have a rule that's written in Gemara in Brachas Daf Yutes Omed Aleph that aliftach odom per la sotn, that a person is not allowed to open his mouth to the sotn, meaning he's not allowed to say bad things on himself, because that causes Satan to actually actuate. So how can the Jewish people say that we wish we would have died, our brothers died in front of Hashem? It is technically a bad thing to say on yourself that you wish you would have died. Sefer Shemeroch introduces the idea that it's written in Parshas Ekev, Dvarim chapter 8, verse number 8, that Eretz Yisrael is a great land, it's a land of wheat, barley, grapes, and there it lists all the seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael. And then it says that Loisech Sarkolboy, that there's nothing lacking in Eretz Yisrael, and Meforshim ask that theoretically this contradicts the idea that is written in Novos chapter 6, Mishnah 4, where the Mishnah says Kachi Darko Shel Torah, that this is the way of Torah, Pas B'melach Toichel, that you have to eat bread with salt, V'mayim Meshura Tishta, that you have to drink water in small measures, Valores Tishon, and you have to lay down on the ground, Vechayetzar Tichya, and you have to have a life of deprivation, Uvatoira to Omel, and you toil in Torah, Imato Oisekein, if you do that, Ashrecha Vetoivlach, it will be praiseworthy and it will be good to you, it will be praiseworthy in this world and it will be good to you in the world to come. So you see that the way of the Torah is not a way of having all the pleasures. Then what is the praise of Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael has all the pleasures, when you are not supposed to enjoy all the pleasures? You are supposed to have only the minimum in order to live. Then what is the idea that Hashem praises Eretz Yisrael with all these good things? Sefer Shemeroch answers this based on the Divrei Emunah in Parshas Vayigash, where there in Bereshis chapter 46, verse number 30, Vayomer Yisrael, Yaakov says, El Yosef to Yosef, Amuso Apam, I will die this time, Achra Reoises Ponecho, after I have seen your face, Ki Oit Chochai, that you are still alive. The Targum Yonison Ben Uziel writes down that I will now die the death of the righteous. And Sefer Divrei Emunah explains that the death of the righteous is when they connect themselves totally to Hashem with love, until their soul leaves them. As the Gemara talks in regards to Rabbi Akiva, in Brachas Daf Samach Alef Amud Beis 61b, that Rabbi Akiva says that all my life I was troubled by this verse that says of a whole nafshecha, that you have to love Hashem with all your heart and all your soul. And we learn afilo noiteles nafshecha, even if somebody is taking your soul, you still require to love Hashem. I always said, when is this mitzvah going to come to my hand and I'll be able to fulfill it? And now that I am able to fulfill it, I shouldn't fulfill it. So we see that you require to have the mitzvah of Mesiras Nefesh, of self-sacrifice for Hashem. But self-sacrifice for Hashem is more noticeable when you have everything than when you don't have everything. Meaning, when you have a life of trouble, when you have a life of deprivation, then the fact that you die for Hashem, it's not so noticeable that you are dying for Hashem. Because people may misinterpret and say that you are dying because you are too tired and too sick of your troubles. But when everything is going okay and you are willing to die for Hashem, then everybody realizes that your death is a death of the righteous people, because now everybody knows that the only reason that you are willing to die for Hashem is because of your love to Hashem. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu, during all the years that he had trouble, he had in mind to do Mesiras Nefesh to Hashem, but he felt that his Mesiras Nefesh is not complete. His self-sacrifice is not complete. Because since he had a life of trouble, he didn't know where Yosef is, and he had other troubles. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu felt that his Mesiras Nefesh is not completely sincere. But now, when he saw Yosef HaTzadik, now he could say, Amuso Apam, now I could die the death of righteous, because now I have everything. I have my favorite son. I don't have any more troubles. And now I could have Mesiras Nefesh. Now I could die for Hashem. Could be that this is the reason why specifically now he says the Shema. Because since now it is the optimum time that he has everything, and now the Mesiras Nefesh, when he says the Shema and has in mind Bechol Nafshecho, that you have to love Hashem if all your soul, even if they take away your soul, now that could be complete. So specifically when Yosef comes, he says the Shema to show that that Mesiras Nefesh now, it's not because of Mesiras Nefesh self-sacrifice because he has a life of trouble and he wants to end his life. It's a Mesiras Nefesh based on having everything. According to this, Sefer Shemeroish says that since Eretz Yisrael is the most holy of lands, then obviously the optimum place to make all the mitzvahs is Eretz Yisrael. And since the mitzvah of Mesiras Nefesh has to be done Eretz Yisrael, then Hashem wants you to be able to fulfill the mitzvah completely. Therefore, Hashem makes sure that Eretz Yisrael is not lacking on anything. Like that, when you do the mitzvah of Mesiras Nefesh in Eretz Yisrael, everybody knows that your Mesiras Nefesh, your self-sacrifice for Hashem, is out of love of Hashem, and not because Eretz Yisrael is lacking and it's a depraved place and you don't have anything, therefore you want to die for Hashem. Therefore, Hashem makes sure that Eretz Yisrael has everything. Like that, when you will do Mesiras Nefesh, when you will do self-sacrifice, everybody will know that you're doing it out of love of Hashem exclusively. According to this, Sefer Shemeroish explains that this is what the Jewish people are complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu in regards to the water. They saying that Lukovanu Bigva Achenu Lifnei Hashem, we wish would have died as our brothers would have died in front of Hashem. Meaning, it says clearly dying in front of Hashem, which means that die Mesiras Nefesh for Hashem. And they said that our brothers had water and they had everything. So when they died, we know clearly that they died because it was self-sacrifice for Hashem. But us, we cannot have the same level of self-sacrifice. Why? Because you brought us to this bad place, which is not a place where you could plant figs, grapes and pomegranates. Since we can't have these luxuries, obviously, if we will do self-sacrifice, people will think that we're doing it because we don't have these luxuries. That's why we are doing self-sacrifice for Hashem. So our self-sacrifice is going to be lacking. And plus, umayim ayin lishtos, there's no water to drink. And Rashi brings down that the death of thirst is the worst death of all. Then people will think when we do self-sacrifice that we're doing self-sacrifice because we are too tired of living. So that was the complaint of this congregation. This congregation wasn't complaining that they want water because they want to drink and there is a bad place. They were complaining that now their Mesiras Nefesh doesn't count as much. Their self-sacrifice for Hashem doesn't count as much since there is no plants, there's not no trees. Obviously, they are not having everything they're supposed to have. And if you don't have everything you're supposed to have, when you do self-sacrifice, people come to think that your self-sacrifice is biased, is because you're lacking things and you want to end it and that's it. And since there is no water, and water is the worst pain, that means that we are all pain, then for sure people will think that we're doing self-sacrifice to get rid of this pain. So that was the argument that they had against Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, since the argument is a lofty argument, Hashem did not get angry at the people. Because since they want to do Mesiras Nefesh in front of Hashem, that is the purpose for the argument, then we don't find Hashem getting angry. Hashem just tells them, give them what they want, give them the water. But Moshe Rabbeinu, which was in a higher level than the Jewish people, because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and he didn't eat food and he didn't drink water, then obviously Moshe Rabbeinu's level of self-sacrifice was much greater than the Jewish people. Then Moshe Rabbeinu did not realize that the Jewish people are now suffering, and because they are suffering, they can't do Mesiras Nefesh completely. Therefore, when the Jewish people complained to Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shimon no amoirim, listen to me, O teachers, you are teaching me now the value of self-sacrifice. I didn't feel this value because I am already used to not eating and drinking. And now that you are teaching me this value, therefore I'm going to give you water from this rock. Comes out according to this, that the whole reason that the Jewish people complained is because they wanted to do a proper Mesiras Nefesh. And a proper Mesiras Nefesh is only when you have everything. And then you could decide to give up your life for the love of Hashem. But when you're lacking things, then it becomes biased because people may think that you're doing it because you want to end your pain and not because of your love to Hashem. And Hashem Yisburg should help that Hashem should again give all the blessings to Eretz Yisrael that Eretz Yisrael deserves. And we should merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuild. B'imheiro b'yomeinu, Amen.